The Dream of a Ridiculous Man by Fyodor Dostoevsky. 1. I am a ridiculous man. They call me a madman now. That would be a distinct rise in my social position, were it not that they still regard me as being as ridiculous as ever. But that does not make me angry any more. They are all dear to me now, even while they laugh at me. Yes, even then they are for some reason particularly dear to me. I shouldn't have minded laughing with them, not at myself, of course, but because I love them. Had I not felt so sad as I looked at them? I feel sad because they do not know the truth, whereas I know it. Oh, how hard it is to be the only man to know the truth. But they won't understand that. No, they will not understand. And yet in the past, I used to be terribly distressed at appearing to be ridiculous. No, not appearing to be, but being. I have always cut a ridiculous figure. I suppose I must have known it from the day I was born. At any rate, I've known for certain that I was ridiculous ever since I was 7 years old. Afterward, I went to school, then to university, and, well, the more I learned, the more conscious did I become of the fact that I was ridiculous. So that for me, my years of hard work at the university seem in the end to have existed for the sole purpose of demonstrating and proving to me, the more deeply engrossed I became in my studies, that I was an utterly absurd person. And as during my studies, so all my life. Every year, the same consciousness that I was ridiculous in every way strengthened and intensified in my mind. They always laughed at me. But not one of them knew or suspected that if there were one man on earth who knew better than anyone else that he was ridiculous, that man was I. And this, I mean, the fact that they did not know it, was the bitterest pill for me to swallow. But there I was myself at fault. I was always so proud that I never wanted to confess it to anyone. No, I wouldn't do that for anything in the world. As the years passed, this pride increased in me, so that I do believe that if ever I had by chance confessed it to anyone, I should have blown my brains out the same evening. Oh, how I suffered in the days of my youth from the thought that I might not myself resist the impulse to confess it to my schoolfellows. But ever since I became a man, I grew for some unknown reason a little more composed in my mind, though I was more and more conscious of that awful characteristic of mine. Yes, most decidedly for some unknown reason. For to this day, I have not been able to find out why that was so. Perhaps it was because I was becoming terribly disheartened, owing to one circumstance which was beyond my power to control, namely the conviction which was gaining upon me that nothing in the whole world made any difference. I had long felt it dawning upon me, but I was fully convinced of it only last year, and that too all of a sudden, as it were. I suddenly felt that it made no difference to me whether the world existed or whether nothing existed anywhere at all. I began to be acutely conscious that nothing existed in my own lifetime. At first I couldn't help feeling that at any rate in the past many things had existed. But later on I came to the conclusion that there had not been anything even in the past, but that for some reason it had merely seemed to have been. Little by little, I became convinced that there would be nothing in the future either. It was then that I suddenly ceased to be angry with people, and almost stopped noticing them. This indeed disclosed itself in the smallest trifles. For instance, I would knock against people while walking in the street, and not because I was lost in thought. I had nothing to think about. I had stopped thinking about anything at that time. It made no difference to me. Not that I had found an answer to all the questions. Oh, I had not settled a single question, and there were thousands of them. But it made no difference to me, and all the questions disappeared.